In the name of the Father, and Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The reading of the fourth Sunday of the blessed month of Kiyak is about the birth of the forerunner, Saint John the Baptist. And when Elizabeth gave birth to John, his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied about his son and the nature of his ministry and how he is going to lead the people of God to the knowledge of salvation. So he said about the ministry of his son four main points. The first one is that he will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. He will give knowledge of salvation to his people, give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. So these are the four main points that we can say that Saint John the Baptist came to fulfill, to prepare, to give knowledge, to give light, and to guide. In the same way, we are all requested as servants of God to do the same, maybe on a different scale, but it is still, this is the summary of the ministry of everyone who is concerned about the kingdom of God, and he wants to fulfill the purpose of his existence here on earth. Going for the first point, to prepare, and there is wisdom in preparation. The people who usually succeed are those people who are concerned about the preparing. Usually this issue, preparation, is ignored and neglected because it does not bear fruits immediately. We cannot evaluate the ministry of Saint John the Baptist on the terms of how many people were converted, or what exactly was the impact that he had on the people by then. But just being concerned with preparation, it showed the wisdom given to him from God. It takes time and effort, with no tangible fruits at the beginning. We keep preparing, and we prepare ourselves to the coming of the Messiah, and we, us being meeting him, and this preparation effort, maybe we cannot say that where exactly it's bearing fruit or when. Maybe we'll prepare for those people who are going to come after us. Maybe we'll do something today, we are not going to do to see the fruits of it immediately. But again, preparation has wisdom, and preparation is very important for us and for those people who come after us. The role of those who prepare may be hidden, yet indispensable. To come here today to the church, for example, and to pray the liturgy, and to take communion, and all of us to go with this great blessing. Many people work at many things. Some of them are hidden. We do not see them. The people who maintain the place, the people who kept it clean, the people who prepared the Qurban. All of this in order for us to come to this. The climax of our worship is to be united with God in the worship and communion. To prepare a way for the Lord, we have to walk in it first. I cannot prepare the way for anyone unless I myself tremble on this road myself. How can I tell somebody or guide him to walk in a certain way if I am lacking the discretion and the direction in this way? In order to prepare a better future for our children, we have first to identify and define what this better future will look like. Is it just to have more money for them, or is it to help them to know God? If I do not know him myself, there is no way I can lead others or prepare others in order for them to be prepared for God. The church teaches us every day how we should be prepared in order for us to be able to enjoy what we are doing here in the church. For example, before we fast the great fast, the Lent, the church says there is a week called the week of preparation. And in this week, we still fast, and it looks the same. But again, it's the mindset. Before approaching this season of repentance, I have to prepare myself. The outcome of the relationship between me and God in the liturgy is so much decided in how much I prepare myself before coming here Saturday night and Sunday morning, and how I should be ready and understand where I am I'm heading and what I'm going to do. The preparation in worship makes a great difference. Of course, we can see it and feel it when we just come from whatever we are doing, immediately just put on our clothes and come here to the church. The church even teaches us that there are certain psalms that we should be chanting while coming here or putting on our clothes. It's all the mindset of being prepared in order for us to bear fruits and to enjoy what we are doing here in the church. As families, we are also responsible to prepare our children, to prepare them to carry the cross and to bear the fruits of repentance. Today we can see that maybe we are coming again and heading towards another season of persecution and martyrdom. At the time when this started in the early church, the people were all prepared. They taught their children that our destiny is to die as martyrs. Maybe we need again to remind ourselves that we are counted as sheep for slaughter. If we are Christians, this should be part of our expectation. Maybe this is what we are going to face one way or another. This mindset, I know, is not something that's pleasant or something easy. But if this is what we are going to face, then we have to be prepared. We ourselves and our children as well. We cannot die as martyrs unless we be able to die to the world and all of its sins first. I cannot prepare someone to present his life as an offering sacrifice before God if I cannot just live the life that's pleasing to God on a day-to-day basis. This preparation, what's happening around us, is a call for us to be prepared and to prepare our families as well, to carry the cross of being Christians and to be proud with it and to expect to die. And this should not scare us. Actually, we are not here living the life that's promised. We are in a temporary time preparing ourselves to the true life that's going to happen when we depart the flesh. So St. John the Baptist prepared the people for the coming of the Messiah, and we also, in the same way, should prepare ourselves and our children. And then, he was also diligent in giving knowledge. In as much as he was able, he communicated to each one what needs to be done. To every sect from the Jews, he told them a message. The question comes back to us: how much of the knowledge we communicate will lead to salvation? We communicate knowledge. In every day we call each other, we write emails, we forward links, we are communicating knowledge. How much of this knowledge are pertaining to the salvation? How much of this knowledge is just maybe waste? Even the news that we hear every day, I'm sure that all of us over the last couple of days, and maybe for the coming few days, will be so much focused on the news coming from Egypt and what's happening to our brethren there and what they are facing and those people are mourning. These are all news, but when we communicate them as knowledge, we have to be very careful that we are communicating knowledge of salvation. We have to be focused on the fact that those people who were killed are martyrs, and we should be always looking forward maybe to have a share like them. We have also to promote peace. No matter what, we cannot hate anyone. Even if we are hurt, we are not called in order for us to retaliate. Yes, we feel the bitterness. We are all bleeding from inside, seeing what's happening. But what we should be communicating should be the knowledge of salvation. What we should be communicating is the message of Christ, who came to promote peace, even if he himself was killed. We have to be very careful examining the knowledge that we communicate every day, knowing that we will be accountable before God in how we communicate the knowledge and in which direction, in which way. Even when we communicate with our children, if they come and ask, what happened exactly, my dad or my mom in Egypt? How we tell them the news? In which way we say it? In which direction we wanted to lift up their minds? We have to be very careful, my brethren. We do not want to seed hatred in their hearts. This is exactly what the devil wants. This is the snare that we should avoid. That we, filled with hatred, we will become like those people who are killing the innocent. Another thing also in handling the knowledge, what are the sources of our knowledge? Where we have the knowledge of this salvation? Unfortunately, some of our children, their knowledge about God comes only from the bumper stickers. They look at it and this is the wisdom. Sometimes these sayings, people consider it as verses from the Bible. Sometimes people say God said, and they say something that it was not in the Bible. And they communicate it as, this is what God wants. What is the source of our knowledge? Where we really learn from? Is it just from the internet, from the people? Is this that what the people are saying as common sense or the common wisdom? Or we are very careful in learning from the right source, from the Bible and from the church, the pillar and the foundation of the truth? We have also to remind ourselves that while we are communicating knowledge, we are teaching, we are just communicating knowledge. We are not the saviors ourselves. What do we mean by this? Sometimes we have some expectation from the church. People sometimes come to Abuna and say, Abuna, I want you to make my son to obey me and to be kind to his brother or sister and to be wise and to take communion every week and to confess and. Actually, Abuna cannot do this, or nobody, no human being can do this, even if Abuna is going to talk with this person, and this person eventually will change. This is not because Abuna changed him. This is the work of the Savior. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of people. The role of the church is to communicate knowledge, to tell the person. In the same way also, I want the parents to have this mindset. I am responsible to teach and to tell and to give example. But I should not hold myself responsible that if my son is not doing exactly what the Bible says, then in a way I failed. I am responsible to be honest and faithful in communicating knowledge as St. John the Baptist did. How many people listened? How many people changed? How many people were converted? We do not know. We don't have statistics. But this is not what is going to determine the success of St. John the Baptist. He was faithful in communicating the knowledge of salvation. A very important issue about communicating knowledge is, do I communicate knowledge about God, or I communicate what I know of Him out of a personal experience? Our words will always be empty, will not touch the heart or the ear of anyone if we do not feel what we are talking about. If I tell people about God out of general knowledge, I read this about Him, they will always feel like it's not out of me. But when I tell them, because I tested myself, this is what's going to make the difference. Saint John the Baptist, he had this first-hand experience with God. That's why when he was talking with the people, they believed him. Saint Paul says, knowing therefore the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Because we know the fear of God, then we will be able to persuade others. The message will be convincing, because we ourselves are living what we are saying, or at least we are struggling in order to keep it. What kind of knowledge do we communicate? Knowledge about God as a historical figure, or knowledge of God as someone whom I am personally intimate with? Then St. John the Baptist also came, as Zacharias said, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. What is this darkness? This darkness might be the darkness of sin, where the people are so much indulged in sins and they lost vision. They feel like the whole world is sinful. Everything turned for them being like unclean. They cannot trust even that there is some kind of righteousness or goodness in the whole world. You find people, when they talk only about that everything is bad. All the people are evil and everyone is just subject for maybe lust or something similar. To give hope, light is hope. To give hope to those people who are bound to their sins, to those who are surrounded with fear and threats. Again, When we talk these days, do we still have hope? Yes, we are saddened, but we have hope. We cannot lose hope. We cannot live without it. We cannot just being immersed in despair, seeing how things are turning in an evil way, then we feel like this is the end of the world. My brethren, we are here to shine like light, to give hope. We still are able to smile. We are still able to communicate message of hope. This doesn't mean that we are not saddened, but still we are looking up. And when we look up, we still see Him shining upon us and upon the whole world. The hope also to those who are suffering trials, those people who are persecuted, or those people who are going through hard time. Are we able to communicate message of hope, or we just look at them and we feel like we are helpless and hopeless and we are all fall into this darkness? This should not be the case. Another mission that was fulfilled by St. John the Baptist is to guide others to peace. As Zacharias the priest said, to guide our feet into the way of peace. There is only one straight and narrow path that leads to peace. There is no other way. In order for us to enjoy God's peace, we have to be walking on this narrow path. We cannot find peace on our own terms, doing whatever is pleasing to us. Maybe thinking that being enjoying the pleasures of life will find peace. It has been tried before many, many years. It never worked. It's only walking on the difficult and the narrow, going through the narrow gate that's going to lead to peace. Peace is attained when God and His kingdom come first. If we try to secure our future or the future of our children by going anywhere away from God, we will never be able to walk in peace. When we ask first about God and His kingdom, by then we will be able to find peace in our lives and the lives of those people whom we are in charge of serving them. In order for us to be guided into this way, we need a guide. Every one of us needs a guide. Every one of us needs to check what he's doing, where he is leading, where he's heading with somebody else. Believe me, even the guide needs a guide. This process is for everyone. You are all aware that even the Pope himself, he has a father of confession. This is something very important. We should not underestimate this. We might all err or go wrong, or we think that maybe I know the way, but how many times people assume that I know the way and they found themselves totally away from God and His ways. We need a guide. We need a counselor. We need somebody whom we check what we know, what we believe, how we feel with Him. St. John the Baptist, he was one of those people who were able to do all of this. That's why he was not a person that we can say that he is a miracle doer, someone who said raised the dead or did this. But he was the greatest man ever born. How? Just by doing this. We are all called to share in his ministry. It's not only for him to do this, for all of us to share, to prepare the ways of the Lord, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, to give light to those who sit in darkness, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.